It's 8:30 on a recent Wednesday morning in Paris. A group of people gathers around a table they've set up outside near the Stalingrad Plaza in the north of the city. They take day-old baguettes donated by local bakeries out of bags and start cutting them up.
We're putting jam and Nutella on bread, and we give tea and coffee.
Adrian comes here once a week with this group, members of whom are out every day, rain or shine, offering breakfast to migrants in the area. Young men line up to get cups of tea and coffee. Many wear backpacks. Most have slept out on the street the night before. Volunteers also give out maps that show services in the neighborhood, like showers or legal aid. And there's a box of personal care products that have been donated, toothbrushes, shampoo, soap. These men are here because there's an office nearby where people can apply for asylum. Once they've applied, they can't work, so they wait around for their next appointments. For lack of anywhere else to go, they stay close to the office, and their main concern is food.
Yes, we care about just the food.
Mohammed says he's 24, from Sudan, like many of the young men here this morning.
This is our life. This is our job. You have to just looking for a place to eat and for a place to drink and like this.
His eyes are reddish. He wears a tattered coat that's going to be too warm for the summer sun that's already heating up the day. He's been in Paris for 2 months, and he'd like to stay in France. He says he's applied for asylum. They took his name and information, and now he's waiting.
From rendezvous to rendezvous, rendezvous to rendezvous, just it's not easy. But we hope that we want to just have just a life here, but we can't.
I go from Sudan because of the war.
Yazir says he got to Paris a week ago. He appreciates the breakfast served here by the volunteers. French people have been nice to him so far, he says.
French people are welcome, but the government and the police, it's difficult.
There's a kind of cat and mouse game between migrants who arrive in Paris and have nowhere else to go, and police who try to keep them from getting too settled on the streets. Last year, hundreds of people, mostly men, were camped out in this neighborhood. Women and children were taken to special centers. The others were left to their own devices. They slept in tents or mattresses under the elevated metro tracks or in the median on the boulevard, turning the area into a kind of refugee camp in the middle of the city. Police cleared the area for good in November of last year. People were sent to temporary shelters, and the city opened an asylum processing center a bit farther to the west at Porte de la Chapelle. It's by a busy road that feeds into Paris from the north. The center was built to house 400 people at a time temporarily as they go through paperwork. But by the beginning of July, there were nearly 2,000 people camped outside waiting to get in. They were sleeping in tents and mattresses on the ground, garbage piling up on the street corners around them. A few dozen NGOs and small groups of individuals around northern Paris are trying to help these migrants as authorities struggle to overcome politics and inertia. Some groups serve breakfast, others teach French or offer legal advice. Here at La Chapelle, at the end of the day, it's tea time. Four volunteers pour out tea and coffee to a line of men holding paper cups. The men then take their cups to a table with containers of sugar and spoon in heaps.
You'd be surprised at how much sugar. It's like a 25-kilogram like bag of sugar goes in about a day. Very sweet teas.
Florence Taylor is the co-founder of the group that's serving the drinks. They've called themselves Solidarité, a play on the word for solidarity and tea in French. Since the good weather started bringing more migrants to the city, they've been serving up to 1,000 cups a day. They get supplies from donations, or they buy them with money they've raised online. But Taylor says the drinks are just an excuse to talk.
It's really easy for them to feel like people, no one cares. So I think even just that the human side of what we do maybe has more of an impact than the actual hot, warm drink.
Taylor has a stack of papers written in English and Arabic, handing them out to the group gathered today. They're mostly Sudanese men. She reads out what's written on them.
Evacuated soon.
There's a planned evacuation, and indeed the next day the police did come to clear out the tents and clean the streets and transferred people to temporary shelters where they could apply for asylum.
Is it true tomorrow?
Yeah.
People ask Taylor questions. Sadama is in the group. He's wearing a baseball cap and a purple button-down shirt. He says he's been in Paris for 6 days and appreciates the help.
They are very kind people. They always like to help us, and even we cannot express how to thank them.
Despite fleeing war in Sudan, going through a harrowing journey to get here to France, and most recently sleeping in a garbage-strewn street, Sadama appears serene.
Some of the people who arrived before, they said that we need to be patient. They said that we too face, when we arrived here, we faced all this what you face. We slept under the bridge, we ate. As you, in front of all people like this, in the roads, all this happened, but now our circumstance is better. So they said to us, you must be patient.
This is a very hard situation, you know, like to live in a tent.
Arak Matura says he left Afghanistan 8 months ago and has been in Paris for 3 weeks. He's been waiting to get into the asylum center, and he's been surprised at the conditions.
The people is too much. This morning they was giving like breakfast over there, you know. We went there and it was too many people, you know, like in a line. There was like a fighting, you know, so then there was no chance for me to go over there, and then I come back, you know. It is like a little bit hard, you know, these things.
He says it's difficult for him, but he also recognized it must be hard for the Parisians who live around the area, whom he calls civilians.
It's too much dirty, you know, and after that for the people, you know, for the civilian, you know, when they're walking and they're all ways are blocked, you know.
This encampment in northern Paris has echoes of Calais in the north of France, where thousands of migrants had set up in an area that was dubbed the jungle before it was torn down last year. The volunteers organizing the tea distribution here in Paris were actually active in Calais. Cecilia Bittner, who's American, came to Calais last year to help for 2 weeks and ended up staying for months.
And the Calais jungle was destroyed, and a lot of people came down here. This is the Paris jungle.
Like in Calais, there's a similar sense of piecemeal or artisanal support for the migrants here. While the state works on their documents and negotiates longer-term housing, it's NGOs and individuals who provide food, legal aid, and support, doing what they can. But Bittner says the situation in Paris is much more precarious than Calais. People here are constantly being moved around, which is why information is vital.
Everything here is run by rumor. Guys travel all around Europe based on a rumor that you can get through here, you know, there's a safe place here, the police aren't so bad in this pack. And so we wanted to combat that with real information.
She and her fellow organizers, all foreigners, no one over the age of 30, spend most of their time in Paris these days helping migrants, fundraising and organizing their tea distribution. But not everyone has the time. Breakfast at the Stalingrad Plaza, for example, is served by local residents, many of whom come before going to work. There are also French classes at the plaza taught by volunteers who come in the evenings.
Most of the people helping live very locally.
Adrian is British. He's been living here for 3 years with his French wife. He saw migrants literally sleeping on his doorstep last year.
We just saw the need. I mean, there were a couple of thousand people camped out last autumn. It was clearly something wasn't working.
Alice is one of the rare non-local volunteers here. She lives in a different part of the city, but comes to help out two or three times a week. When you see people who are in need, who are alone and have problems, she says, you tell yourself you need to help. Even something like serving bread and tea is something. All we can do is give out information, maybe a bit of good cheer, she says. Nearby, Sifad talks with the young volunteer, Salome, who's 13 years old. He's been teaching her Pashtun words. He says he left Afghanistan 9 months ago. He's been in Paris for 3 months waiting for his asylum claim to be processed. He says he comes to breakfast, not so much for the food, but for the company.
I come in for learning French. When I talking to a woman, some girl, is a good connection.
For Salome, this has been a good experience. You get to know them. They're regular, she says, and they're really nice. Sifad stops to talk, has some tea, and then goes on his way.
Every day I walking, no working. I sleep on the road. Nighttime, morning time, I come in here. Then I go walking, looking for food, you know. When I eat food, then I walk. Too hard life.
And it might not get any easier anytime soon. The French government is working on laws that would require cities other than Paris to take in migrants, and they're looking at streamlining the asylum application process. In the meantime, though, people keep coming. Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.